Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Warto, and this week's Parsha is Parshat Naso. Hope everybody had a great Shavuos. Hopefully you're able to stay up and learn, and even if not, hopefully you got some good learning in. Also hope you had good food, but obviously, the learning is thicker, but, nice piece of cheesecake doesn't hurt. Anyway, we're already almost at Shabbos. Time really flew this week. And hopefully you've had a chance to prepare. There really is a lot in this week's parsha, whether it's in the siyum themselves, or the other term of Naso, which is the beginning of this week's parsha, and then sandwiched in the middle, we have three of really important things. We have Nazir, Sota, and also Birkas Kohanim. So there's quite a lot to talk about in this week's parsha. Now, in the middle of this week's parsha, we have the Torah stating, "V'chol trumat v'chol kodesh b'nei Yisrael, asher yekrivu kohen lo yihyeh, and all truma for all the sanctified objects of b'nei Yisrael that shall bring to the kohen, it shall be his." Now, this phrase of lo yihyeh, it shall be his, essentially occurs twice more in the next pasuk, where it states, "V'ish et kedoshav lo yihyeh, asher yiten l'kohen lo yihyeh." And a man has sanctified objects, to him they shall be. A man that will give to a Kohen, to him it shall be. So putting aside a little bit of the redundancy of that particular pasuk, what exactly is the meaning of lo yihyeh, to him it shall be, right? And why does it specifically occur three times? Furthermore, who specifically is this him, which seems a little ambiguous. Now, it seems to be referring to the Kohen, but it's still not so abundantly clear. And what exactly does it mean for a sanctified object to be his, right? If it's kadosh, then it really is to Hashem, but obviously Kohen gets a part. So we're going to discuss part of that. The Ramban and the Or HaChaim both address these issues, and the Ramban gives a very practical answer. The first time the phrase is mentioned, it's granting the right of the Kohanim to take a part of the sanctified object, part of the kadosh meat, or the flower of the mincha. The second time, this phrase is used to illustrate that in many of these cases, the owner of the object, especially by nedavah, voluntary offerings, is entitled to a significant portion of the karban. And the third use of this phrase is to illustrate specifically those Kohanim to whom the owner gives it to have ownership. And the owner, in most of all these cases, has the right to determine which Kohen will, in fact, receive certain special portions, and a Kohen cannot simply take it because he has a right. It has to be given to him. In fact, this phrase of lo yihyeh, to him it shall be, is, in fact, numerically equal to yinadev, he shall donate, right, or he shall give to. The Or HaChaim adds that if a Kohen himself brings the kachim, the sacrificial objects, whether it's the animals themselves, the sachem, the oil, the flour, the mincha offering, whatever, even if this Kohen is not currently serving in the temple, to him it shall be. He still gets a piece of it. He still has the right to keep the Kohanic gifts. Now, the Or HaChaim also explains the three mentionings of lo yihyeh, to him it shall be. It can refer solely to the right of the Kohen and not necessarily to the owner of the karban. Right? He explains that in all there are actually 24 types of Kohanic portions, but that they can be grouped into three categories. One, objects that are made holy and connected to the temple, the best example of which are, karbanos, sacrifices. Second thing are truma and other tithes that go to a Kohen, where there is sanctity, but it's not exclusively, or sometimes not at all, mikdash related. It's really more a function of the aretz or, also is a bechor that goes to the Kohen. And the third category is general non-sanctified Kohanic gifts, such as the first shearings, the Rosh Hagaz, and Pidyon HaBen, which are things which the Kohen's entitled, but are not kadosh per se, right? They don't have to be, eaten or treated or, held with any kind of, explicit kedusha, right? But they're just a general Matana to the Kohen. Now, this phrase of lo yihyeh, to him it shall be, is equal to 66. Now, when multiplied by 3, as I said, it occurs 3 times, is equal to 192, which is the gematria of ketzev, which in modern Hebrew means a beat or a rhythm, but actually, more appropriately, it means an apportioned segment, right? Which is effectively what a beat is. Dun, 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 right? It's dividing up the rhythm, so dividing up into beats or sections. So, right? And a portion segment is a ketzev, or a kitzva. Bum, 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 da 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 da. Anyway, the Kohanim were given these portions, and it is part of the structure of the Jewish people. It's so much so that the Or HaChaim explains that if a Kohen is chosen to receive one of the Kohanic gifts, he is not allowed to refuse. It's amazing, right? Not that people would generally want to refuse gifts, but if he wanted to, it was like, oh, why me? Give it to this Kohen. No, he must take it. Part of the sanctification and being a Kadosh nation is to recognize the proper roles and responsibilities of individuals and the general society. Whether you're giving or receiving, each person has a role to play. Right? Now, hopefully, B'ezrat Hashem, you know, we can have Mashiach soon, and we can come and recognize and visualize these Kohanic gifts, you know, speedily in our days. We can, you know, hopefully, B'ezrat Hashem have that, because it is very, very hard to perceive sometimes. But, and obviously we have no idea how things are going to truly play out when Mashiach comes. But another interesting thing is that this Lo Yehiyeh occurs another set of three times, and that's in Parshat Tzav, right? Where it's also pertaining to Karbanos. In Perek Zayin, Pesuk Zayin, it says, Kechatat ka'asham Torah echad lahem ha-kohen asher yechaper bo Lo Yehiyeh. Right? Now, that's referring to kind of just the different portions that he gets, the different, priestly gifts from the, you know, I forget, it was like the right thigh, the maw, whatever exactly those portions are, right? And it's specifically referring to chatat, the parts that come from a chatat and an asham, a sin offering and a guilt offering. And then the very next pasuk states, there we go. Two psukim in a row, it ends with lo yehiyeh. And the kohen who offers a person's burnt offering, right, which in this case is an elevation offering, whatever you want to call it, is an ola specifically, right? In that case, that ola gets completely burnt. An elevation offering gets completely burnt, so there is no meat for the kohen to have. Nevertheless, he gets the hide, right? He gets the or, ayin vav resh, of the animal to keep. So still, even if it's completely burnt, part of it still goes to the Kohen, right? Now the third case is a couple of psukim later in Pasuk Yedalit, where it states, "Hakriv imenu echad mikol karban truma l'Hashem," which is really referring to any karban, but it's specifically in reference to any of the toda offerings that can be brought. And it says, you know, Karban Truma L'Hashem, Kohen Hazorek Et Adam Ashlimim Yehiyeh. Now, in this case, it's actually the Kohen who performs the service who actually gets a portion of the Toda offering, which is interesting, because in that particular case, it's not, I mean, I don't know all the rules, but it appears to be that it's not a designee as it would be in, you know, some of the other cases. But in this particular case, it's Dafka, the one who offers it, that kind of gets the credit for it, and which makes sense, considering that it's a Toda. You want to be thankful that you have that this Kohen is offering it, this Toda, on your behalf. Right? You're offering thanks to Hashem, and you want to be thankful to this Kohen who is offering it on your behalf to enable it to be offered to Hashem. So it makes sense that he should be the one to actually receive the portions here. Now, how exactly that ties in with what the Or HaChaim says, it's a little harder to fit into the Ramban, but at least what the Or HaChaim says, it kind of fits in a little bit. And obviously it requires a little more fleshing out, but we do have these three types of Kohanic portions, these three categories of Kohanic portions that kind of fits into this. So items that are made holy and connected to the temple, right, we have, you know, the first case, parts of the actual dafka, the animal, right? Now, in this case, the second case is actually something which is kadosh, but it's not the part that's actually brought on the Mizbeach itself, meaning the hide. Right, and the third type is, you know, in this particular, in the case of the Or HaChaim, he had talked about non-Kohanic gifts, such as the first shearings and pigeon of Ben. But in this particular case, not that it's not sanctified, it 100% is kadosh, it is sanctified, but it's something which, as I mentioned, is inherent to that particular Kohen who's offering it, as opposed to one who's it's being given to. So there's still, it's not exactly the same breakdown, but there still are three intrinsic differences here by Lo Yehiyeh, right? Which, as we can see, it's kind of broken up differently into three different ketzavim, three different portions. So it's just another interesting insight. So even when you're donating to the Beit HaMikdash, it's not all about you. It's not all about you and your relationship, even between you and Hashem. But the Kohanim play an essential role, and we have to make sure that we never forget that role, that everybody has a part to play, whether you're on the receiving or the giving end. So I wanted to wish you all a Shabbat Shalom. Take care. Thanks.